Dwaravatyam Vatsataho Ramakrishna Surya Uparagaha Sumahan Asitkalpa Kshayayata Ataikada Dwaravatyam Vasato Ramakrishnayaha Suryoparagasumahan Asikalpa Kshayayata. Sukadeva Goswami continued, once while Krishna and Balaram were living in Dwarka, there occurred a great eclipse of the sun, just as if the end of Lord Brahma's day had come. Knowing this eclipse in advance, O King, many people went to the holy place known as Samanta Panchaka in order to earn pious credits. Acha. After ridding the earth of kings, Lord Parasuram, the foremost of warriors, created huge lakes from the king's blood at Samanta Panchaka. Although he is never tainted by karmic reactions, Lord Parasuram performed sacrifices there to instruct people in general. Thus he acted like an ordinary person, trying to free himself of sins. From all parts of Bharatvarsha, a great number of people now came to Samanta Panchaka on pilgrimage. O descendant of Bharata, among those arriving at the holy place were many Vrishnis, such as Gada, Pradyumna, and Samba, hoping to be relieved of their sins. Akrura, Vasudev, Ahuk, and other kings also went there. Aniruddha remained in Dwarka with Suchandra, Shuka, and Sharna to guard the city, together with Kritavarma, the commander of their armed forces. Tera tire devadishna bir bayer ya ya hayais hayais cha tarala plavai. The mighty Yadavas passed with great majesty along the road. They were attended by their soldiers who rode on chariots rivaling the airplanes of heaven, on horses moving with a rhythmic gait, and on bellowing elephants as huge as clouds. Also with them were many infantrymen as effulgent as celestial Vidyadharas. The Yadavas were so divinely dressed, being adorned with gold necklaces and flower garlands and wearing fine armor, that as they proceeded along the road with their wives, they seemed to be demigods flying in the sky. At Samanta Panchaka, the saintly Yadavas bathed and then observed a fast with careful attention. Afterward, they presented brahmanas with cows bedecked with garments, flower garlands, and gold necklaces. In accordance with the scriptural injunctions, the descendants of Vrishni then bathed once more in Lord Parasuram's lakes and fed first-class brahmanas with sumptuous food. Hear that, right? Okay. All the while, they prayed, may we be granted devotion to Lord Krishna. Then, with the permission of Lord Krishna, their sole object of worship, the Vrishnis ate breakfast and sat down at their leisure beneath big trees that gave cooling shade. The Yadavas saw that many of the kings who had arrived were old friends and relatives. Matsyas, Ushinaras, Kosalas, Vidarbhas, Kurusanjayas, Kambojas, Kaikayas, Madras, Kuntis, and the kings of the Anarta and Kerala. They also saw many hundreds of other kings, both allies and adversaries. In addition, my dear King Parikshit, they saw their dear friend Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men and women who have been suffering in anxiety for so long. As the great joy of seeing one another made the lotuses of their hearts and faces blossom with fresh beauty, the men embraced one another enthusiastically. With tears pouring from their eyes, the hair on their bodies standing on end, and their voice choked up, they felt intense bliss. The women glanced at one another with pure smiles of loving friendship. When they embraced, their breasts smeared with saffron paste pressed against one another as their eyes filled with tears of affection. They all then offered obeisances to their elders and received respects in return from their youngers. After inquiring for one another about the comfort of their trip and their well-being, they proceeded to talk about Krishna. Queen Kunti met with her brothers and sisters and their children, and also with her parents, her brothers' wives, and Lord Mukunda, While talking with them, she forgot her sorrow. Kunti Uvacha. Yes. My dear respectable brother, I feel that my desire having been frustrated, desires have been frustrated because although all of you are most saintly, you forgot me during my calamities. She's talking to Vasudeva. Friends and family members, even children, brothers and parents, forget a dear one when providence no longer favors him. Vasudeva Uvacha. My dear sister, please do not be angry with us. We are only ordinary men, playthings of fate. Indeed, whether a person acts on his own or is forced by others, he is always under the supreme control. Harassed by conks, we all fled in various directions. But by the grace of providence, we have now finally been able to return to our homes, my dear sister. Sukhavasya. Vasudeva, Ugrasena, and other Yadus honored the various kings who became supremely blissful and content upon seeing Lord Achyuta. All the royalty present, including Bhishma, Drona, Dhritarashtra, Gandhari and her sons, the Pandavas and their wives, Kunti, Sanjay, Vidur, Kripacharya, Kunti, Bhoja, Viharat, Bhishmak, great Nagnajit, Purujit, Drupada, Salyat, Drishtaketu, Kasiraj, Damagosh, Vishalaksha, Maitala, Madra, Kekai, Yudhamanyu, Shusharma, Balika, with his associates and their sons, and many other kings subservient to Maharaj Yudhisthira, all of them, O best of kings, were simply amazed to see the transcendental form of the Lord, the abode of all opulences and beauty, standing before them with his consorts. Yeah.
When is this happening after the Bhanu died?
No, yeah.
Because Kunti is saying that he didn't remember me.
Yeah, because Kanksa had taken control and chased the Yadus out, and so she was then, you know, without any kind of shelter like that. Yeah, but then Kanksa was killed.
So now they're all in Dwarka?
No, they're all in Kurukshetra. Yeah, for a sacrifice. It's happened before. There was a big solar eclipse, and so everybody's coming from all over India to Pancha Samanta Panchaka for, you know, to perform yajna, sacrifice for punya. This is long before the Battle of Kurukshetra. It may be after that. I guess it's after the Rajasuya sacrifice. Yeah, it's after Yudhisthira performed the Rajasuya sacrifice. He became the emperor. So Duryodhana was always addressing him sarcastically as, "Oh, my dear emperor." Like that. And they split the capital into Hastinapur and Indraprastha. Okay. And Krishna was living in Dwarka. Okay?
And that's when gopis came from Vrindavan.
Yes.
And to take Krishna from Kurukshetra to Vrindavan.
Which is the Rath Yatra festival. After Lord Balaram and Krishna had liberally honored them with great joy and enthusiasm, these kings began to praise and the members of the Vrishni clan, Shri Krishna's personal associates. Aho bhojo pate yuyam janma bhajo nuranam iha. The king said, O king of the bhojas, you alone among men have achieved a truly exalted birth, for you continually behold Lord Krishna, who is rarely visible even to great yogis. His fame is broadcast by the Vedas, the water that has washed his feet, and the words he speaks in the form of the revealed scriptures. These thoroughly purify this universe. Although the earth's good fortune was ravaged by time, the touch of his lotus feet has revitalized her. And thus she is raining down on us the fulfillment of all our desires. The same Vishnu who makes one forget the goals of heaven and liberation has now entered into marital and blood relationships with you, who otherwise travel on the hellish path of family life. Indeed, in these relationships, you see and touch him directly, walk beside him, converse with him, and together with him lie down to rest, sit at ease, and take your meals. My goodness. Sukadeva Goswami said, when Nanda Maharaj learned that the Yadus had arrived, led by Krishna, he immediately went to see them. The cowherds accompanied him, their various possessions loaded on their wagons. Purport. The cowherds of Raja were planning to stay at Kurukshetra for some days, so they came equipped with adequate provisions especially milk products, and other food for the pleasure of Krishna and Balaram. Tam vrishtvat vrishnayo hrishtas. Seeing Nanda, the Vrishnis were delighted and stood up like dead bodies coming to life. Having felt much distress at not seeing him for so long, they held him tightly in their embrace. Vasudeva embraced Nanda Maharaj with great joy. Beside himself with ecstatic love, Vasudeva remembered the troubles Kamsa had caused him, forcing him to leave his sons in Gokul for their safety. O hero of the Kurus, Krishna and Balaram embraced their foster parents and bowed down to them, but their throats were so choked up with tears of love that the two lords could hardly say anything. Raising their two sons on their laps and holding them in their arms, Nanda and Sainti Mother Yashoda forgot their sorrows. Purport. Vishwanath Chakravarti explains, this is our parampara, right? He's explaining now what actually is happening here, that the initial embraces and obeisances, that after initial obeisances and embraces, Vasudev led Nanda and Yashoda into his tent as they held the hands of Krishna and Balaram. Following them inside were Rohini and other women and men of Raja and a number of attendants. Inside, Nanda and Yashoda took the two boys in their lap. Despite having heard the glories of the two lords of Dwarka, and despite seeing their opulences now before their eyes, Nanda and Yashoda looked on them as if they were still their eight-year-old children. Rohini Devaki Cha Ta. When Rohini Devaki embraced the queen of Raja, remembering the faithful friendship she had shown them, their throats were choking with tears. They addressed her as follows. At this time, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti, Srila Vyasadeva invited Nanda outside to meet Ugrasena and the other elderly Yadus. Taking this opportunity, Rohini and Devaki talked with Queen Yashoda. Rohini Devaki Uvacha. What woman could forget the unceasing friendship you and Nanda have shown us, dear Queen of Raja? There is no way to repay this in the world, even with the wealth of Indra. Before these two boys had ever seen their real parents, you acted as their parents and gave them all affectionate care, training, nourishing and protecting them. They were never afraid, good lady, because you protected them just as the eyelids protect the eyes. Indeed, saintly persons like you never discriminate between outsiders and their own kin. Vishwanath Chakravarti explains. Krishna and Balaram had not seen their parents for two reasons. What are the two reasons?
Which parents?
Yeah.
Which parents didn't see?
They were in jail.
Oh, here. Yeah. Because, Devaki and Vasudev. They hadn't seen them, right?
At this point?
No, earlier. Because you're saying...
Yeah, because of the concept.
Okay. You're a water engineer, I can tell. Because of their exile in Raja, and also because they are never actually born and therefore have no parents. Tricky guy. Vishwanath Chakravarti also describes that Devaki thought before speaking this verse, alas, because for so long these two sons of mine had you, Yashoda, as their guardian and mother, and because they were immersed in such a vast ocean of ecstatic dealings with you, now that you are once more before them, they are too distracted to even notice me. Also, you are behaving as if insane and blind with love, showing millions of times more maternal affection than I possess. Thus you simply keep staring at us, your friends, without recognizing us. So let me bring you back to reality on the pretext of some affectionate words. Then, when Devaki failed to get any response from Yashoda, even after addressing her, when he said, "My dear Devaki, it is impossible just now to rouse her out of this ecstatic trance. We are crying in the wilderness, and her two sons are no less bound up in the affection, ropes of affection for her than she is for them. Let us now go outside and meet with Prita and Draupadi and others." Okay. Shishuka Vacha. While gazing at their beloved Krishna, the young gopis used to condemn the creator of eyelids because they would blink. Now seeing Krishna again after such a long time with their eyes, they took him into their hearts, and there they embraced him to their full satisfaction. In this way, they became totally absorbed in ecstatic meditation on him. Although those who constantly practice mystic yoga find such absorption difficult to achieve. According to Vishwanath Chakravarti, just then Lord Balaram saw the gopis standing a short distance away. Seeing them trembling with eagerness to meet Krishna and apparently ready to give up their lives if they could not do so, he tactfully decided to get up and involve himself somewhere else. Then the gopis attained the state described in the current verse. In referring to the gopis' intolerant disrespect of Lord Brahma, the creator of eyelids, Sukadeva Goswami is giving vent to his own subtle jealousy of the gopis' favored position. My gosh. So Jiva Goswami offers an alternative understanding of the phrase Nitya Yujam, which may mean even of the Lord's principal queens, who tend to be proud of their constant association with him. Bhagavantas tata bhuta vivikta upasangataha arshlisha maya paristva parahasan idam abravit. It probably mentions in the Krishna book. Because they have been separated from Krishna for so many years, the gopis, having come along with Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda, felt intense ecstasy in seeing Krishna. No one can even imagine how anxious the gopis were to see Krishna again. As soon as Krishna became visible to them, they took him inside their hearts through the eyes and embraced him to their full satisfaction. Even though they were embracing Krishna only mentally, they became so ecstatic and overwhelmed with joy that for the time being they completely forgot themselves. The ecstatic trance which they achieve simply by mentally embracing Krishna is impossible to be achieved even by great yogis constantly engaged in meditation on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna could understand that the gopis were wrapped in ecstasy by embracing him in their minds, and therefore, since he is present in everyone's heart, he reciprocated the embrace from within. Bhagavan's tasata bhuta. The Supreme Lord approached the gopis in a secluded place as they stood in their ecstatic trance. After embracing each of them and inquiring about their well-being, he laughed and spoke as follows. Vishnu Chakravarti. Krishna expanded himself by his vibhuti shakti to embrace each of the gopis individually, thus waking each of them from her trance. He inquired, "Are you now relieved of your pain of separation?" and laughed to lighten their spirits. Api smarata no sakyaho. Krishna said, "My dear girlfriends, do you still remember me? It was for my relative's sake that I stayed away so long, intent on destroying my enemies. Do you perhaps think I am ungrateful and thus hold me in contempt? After all, it is the Supreme Lord who brings living beings together and then separates them." Vishnu Chakravarti. The gopis thought, "We are not like you, who with your heart shattered by remembering us day and night, gave up all sense of enjoyment and distress of separation. Rather, we have not remembered you at all. In fact, we have been quite happy without you." In response, Krishna here asks whether they resent him for his ingratitude. Vayiryata gananikam. Just as the wind, Krishna says, blows masses of clouds, blades of grass, wisps of cotton, particles of dust, only to scatter them again, so the Creator deals with his created beings in the same way. Rendering to Mayi Bhakti is a very super famous verse. Mayi Bhakti Hibhutanam Amritatvaya Kalpate Dishya Mad Asin Matsneho Bhavatinam Marapanaha. Rendering devotional service to me qualifies any living being for eternal life. But by your good fortune, you have developed a special loving attitude toward me by which you have attained me. Vishnu Chakravarti.
In previous couple of verses, he is saying that it's because the Supreme Person of God is happening. Yeah. It happened that we separated. And now he's saying, because of your devotion to me.
Yep.
That's what he's saying. It's
confusing, isn't it?
Yeah, the Supreme Person of God, and here's me.
Hang on. Vishnu Chakravarti says, the gopis reply, "But the Supreme Lord you are blaming is none other than yourself, almost clever of speakers. Everyone in the world knows this. Why should we be ignorant of this fact?" "All right," Krishna says, "if this is true, I must be God, but I still am conquered by your loving affection."
But isn't it true that during the whole Vrindavan Leela pastimes of Krishna, he would cover all the gopis with his yoga maya? They would never recognize him as God.
Sometimes.
And sometimes he would uncover.
Yeah, because sometimes he showed the Bharat Rukh to Mother, he showed open his mouth, with everything in his mouth like that.
Come on again.
Confused, yeah.
Like here.
Yeah. Even Krishna becomes confused sometimes. And Vrindavan is, maybe I'm not God. I think I'm a God. Wait a second. Yeah. No, that's it. It's kind of a secondary opulence. Hare Krishna. Okay, we're Kurukshetra. Doing the sacrifice. Aham hi sarva bhutanam adir anton taram bahi bhauti kanam yata kamba bhurvayor jyotim angana. Dear ladies, I am the beginning and the end of all created beings and exist both within and without them. Just as the elements, ether, water, fire, air, and earth are the beginning and the end of all material objects and exist both within and without them. Sridhar Swami and Vishnu Chakravarti comment, Krishna implies the following idea in this verse. If you know that I am the Supreme Lord, there should be no question of suffering any kind of separation from me, since I pervade all existence. Your unhappiness must be due to a lack of discrimination. Therefore, please take this instruction from me and remove your ignorance. But the truth of the matter is that you gopis were in your previous lives great masters of yoga, and thus you must already know this science of jnana yoga. Therefore, whether I try to teach this to you in person or through my representatives like Uddhava, it will not produce a desired result. Jnana yoga simply causes suffering for those who are fully immersed in pure love of God. Evam hi aitani bhutani. In this way, Krishna continued, all created things reside within the basic elements of the creation, while the spirit soul pervades the creation, remaining in their own true identity. You should see both of these, the material creation and the self, as manifest within me, the impersonal truth. Imperishable truth, sorry.
These gopis were the impersonalist yogi in the past?
I didn't say that. And all of them. Radharani is there too. Yeah. Shisuka vacha. Having thus been instructed by Krishna in spiritual matters, the gopis were freed of all tensions of false ego because of their incessant meditation on him. And with their deepening absorption in him, they came to understand him fully. Prabhupada in the Krishna book says it this way. The gopis, having been instructed by Lord Krishna in his philosophy of simultaneous oneness and difference, remained always in Krishna consciousness, and thus became liberated from all material contamination. The consciousness of the living entity who falsely presents himself as the enjoyer of the material world is called jiva kosha, which means imprisonment by the false ego. Not only the gopis, but anyone who follows these instructions of Krishna becomes immediately free from this jiva kosha imprisonment. A person in full Krishna consciousness is always liberated and false egoism. He utilizes everything for Krishna's service, not at any time is separated from him. End quote. Now this verse is really famous. It's from Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's also mentioned. Lord Chaitanya was chanting this verse, remembering the situation at Kurukshetra. Ahushte nalina naba padaravendam yogeshvaraya hridibichintya aghada bodai Sangsara kupa patito taranavalambam geyam jusam api manasi udiyat sadana. The gopis thus spoke. Dear Lord, whose navel is just like a lotus flower, your lotus feet are the only shelter for those who have fallen into the deep well of material existence. Your feet are worshipped and meditated upon by great mystic yogis and highly learned philosophers. We wish that those lotus feet may also be awakened within our hearts, although we are only ordinary persons engaged in household or life. Right. Yeah. The reverential, the translation and meanings for these words are taken from Prabhupada's English Chaitanya Charitamrita. Revealing the jealous mood in which the gopis spoke these deceptively reverential words, Sri Vishnu Chakravarti gives their statements as follows. O Supreme Lord, O directly manifest super soul, O crest jewel of instructors and definitive knowledge, you are aware of our excessive attachment to home, property, and family. Therefore, you previously had sent Uddhava to instruct us in the knowledge that dispels ignorance, and now you have done so yourself. In this way, you have purified our hearts of contamination. And as a result, we understand that your pure love for us, free from any motivation other than assuring our liberation. But we are only unintelligent cowherd women. How can this knowledge remain fixed in our hearts? We cannot even meditate steadily upon your lotus feet. The focus of our of realization for great souls like Lord Brahma. Please be merciful to us and somehow make it possible for us to concentrate on you even a little. We are still suffering the reactions of our fruitive work. So how can we meditate on you, the goal of great yogis? Such yogis are immeasurably wise, but we are mere feeble-minded women. Please do something to get us out of this deep well of material life. Yeah, pure devotees are never entangled in material desires. Pure devotees are never motivated by a desire for material elevation or spiritual liberation. And even if the Lord offers such benedictions, the devotees refuse them, as the Lord states in the 11th chapter of Bhagavatam. Because my devotees possess saintly behavior and deep intelligence, they completely dedicate themselves to me and do not desire anything besides me. And even if I offer them liberation from birth and death, they do not accept it. It is quite appropriate, therefore, that the gopis responded with a trace of jealous anger to Lord Krishna's attempt to teach them jnana yoga. Yeah. It's like going back to Radharani and say, oh, yeah, I see, I'm stressed. Why don't you take some hatha yoga courses, do some asanas and, you know, do some jogging. Why don't you go jogging? You know, remove your distress. Yeah. Yeah. Thus, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti, the words of the gopis speak in this verse may be interpreted as follows. O sun who directly destroys the darkness of ignorance, we are scorched by the sun rays of this philosophical knowledge. We are chakora birds who can subsist only on moonlight radiating from your beautiful face. Please come back to Vrindavan with us, and this way bring us back to life. And if he says, then come to Dwarka, and there we will enjoy being together. They reply that Vrindavan is our home, and they are too attached to it for them to take up residence anywhere else. Only there, the gopis imply, can Krishna attract them by wearing peacock feathers in his turban and playing the chanting music of his flute. Only by his appearance again in Vrindavan can the gopis be saved, not by any other means of meditation on him or by theoretical knowledge of the self. So Lord Chaitanya was always meditating on these, right? These moods and humors of the gopis in Vrindavan. He said there is no higher mood of worshipping the Supreme Lord than that conceived by the gopis of Vrindavan. But also very difficult to achieve, right? As earlier as this verse, Mayi Bhakti Hibhutanam Amritat Vaya Kalpate Asin Mat Dishnasta Asin Sneha Asin Mat, you know. Asin Mat Sneha Dishdash. It's worth memorizing. Yeah. Dishya. Jishnya Dishya Ad Asin Mat Sneha Sneho Bhavatinam Marapanaha. Mayi, yeah, what's that mean? Bhaktir. He. Certainly. Yeah. Bhutanam. Okay. Amritatvaya Kalpate. It goes to, no, Kalpate. Leads. Yeah. So he says if you engage in regulated devotional service, you chant your rounds, you get up, you do akadasi, and you'll go to heaven. It's by following bhakti yoga, sarana bhakti, vaidhi bhakti, you go to amrita. You know? But he's saying, but you've developed a different kind of love, a spontaneous emotional love for me, with no feelings of awe and reverence for me, like in Vaikuntha, Jehovah, Allah, Vishnu, Sriman, Narayan. He said, that's the only reason for my coming back to you. Right? Because when they went to, Lord Chaitanya expands these in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the discussion of Ratha Yatra. It's really worth reading this week. You know? And so when gopis came to Vrindavan, they were thinking, let's go. Krishna's staying in Dwarka. I've got a map here, okay. Krishna's in Dwarka. And the gopis are still staying in Vrindavan, you know, south of Delhi. So Krishna's going to go to Kurukshetra. I thought, well, here's an opportunity to see him. It was bad enough when he went to Mathura, you know. But still from Mathura they could get news because people were going back and forth selling things in the capital, flowers for the garland makers and milk products. So they would get news about what's happening. But when they heard that Krishna was going to Dwarka, it was even worse. You know? It was bad enough. That was even worse. You know? So after a long time, they heard that Krishna's coming back to going to visit Kurukshetra. So they also thought, let's go see Krishna and we can invite him to come and visit us at least. Maybe he can't stay, you know. But at least he can come and visit us, you know. Because we were, you know, his friends when he was like a foster child. And, you know, Mother Yashoda took care of him just like his own mother, you know. So they went there with their pickup trucks with, you know, burfi and rasagullas. And when they got there, they saw Krishna surrounded by these great kings and princes. And you know, George Bush and these people with Mercedes-Benz and offering him Rolex wristwatches and Halliburton and briefcases and Gucci shoes and, you know, all these rich gifts. And then he was surrounded by, you know, thousands of beautiful princesses who were trained in music and every kind of this, you know, sophisticated city art. And they were just country girls who make cow dung patties like that, you know, and ministers and soldiers. So they saw this, they were actually very intimidated, you know, to offer, you know, they said, well, Krishna would never want to come back, you know. So then they said, well, maybe if Radharani, you know, what? If Radharani invites him like that, because, you know, he had a special affection for her. We all know this. You know. But she was thinking, well, why? She said, why would he want to come back and see me? I was just his girlfriend when he was growing up, and now he's met these really sophisticated girls, and, you know, so on. So then Lord Chaitanya offers the prayers and the mood of Radharani, and it's, you know, very intense. You know, the beauty of the Bengali is unbelievable. Like that, chanting it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, then it's expanding on this verse like that. You know. So the idea is to, you know, and so, but in the beginning, Krishna's in his Aishwarya Bhava. He's in this mood of Narayan, Vishnu. And the only person who's actually able to invoke, you know, his mood of, you know, of Madhurya is Radharani. And that, so he says this verse, Mayi bhakti hi bhutanam amrataya kapave. Anybody who engages regular religious activities can go to the spiritual world. Here one Christian preacher, he was saying, every Sunday you come to church, right? You listen to the same sermon. You wear the same clothes. You sit in the same place. It smells like you. Yeah. Okay, so God will take you to heaven. You know, like that. He's not a mean guy. You know. But the gopis were manifesting something. So he says, therefore, whatever spontaneous love you have for me by good fortune is the only reason for my coming back to you. Right? So if you have any spontaneous love for Krishna, like that, then they have to cultivate that, you know. It's very rare. You see, the different incarnations, mostly incarnations don't even give bhakti. All they give is liberation, like that, you know. So someone to actually give love of God in the spiritual world is a rare incarnation. And so Krishna is giving the opportunity. When Krishna came, he came with all the vibhava, all the stimulus for love for him, his form, his activities, his pastimes, his associates, all these things stimulate our pure love of God. So he came and did that, you know. But he made this deal that only pure devotees could see him, right? If he had selfish motives, well, you see something else. You see the Paramatma, or you see a very powerful wrestler, or you see an incompetent fool. Different people saw him in different ways, you know. But Lord Chaitanya, when he came, he started giving it out for free, right? Says the Panchatattva, they broke the lock on, you know, the storehouse of love of God. And they were appreciating Krishna's qualities, activities, pastimes. They were becoming ecstatic. And they started distributing it everywhere to everybody, like that. You know? So very, you know, Mahavaranyaya avatar, most beneficent incarnation, because he's giving what no other incarnation had ever given before. You know, the most resplendent mellow of his own transcendental love. Like that. Yeah? Yeah.
In this verse, yeah.
Yeah, it's the same bhaktir. So probably interpreting it as meaning vaidhi bhakti.
And then saying spontaneous. So how will the bhakti can be spontaneous?
It can't be. That's the point. You know. But he says somehow or other, and here and how we come to the point in hand, because the Rath Yatra festival is a celebration of the gopis taking Krishna from Aishwarya Bhava to Braja Bhakti. So this is bhakti yoga. Krishna manifests himself as the beads, as the picture, as, you know, as all these activities. The yogis have to go through years to go inside, right? But Krishna, if you have some taste, then Krishna can manifest himself externally, these objects like that. So the Rath Yatra festival is an opportunity to try and lift ourselves out of, you know, following all these rules and regulations, get mukti, to reawaken our spontaneous love in the mood of the gopis. By hearing all these prayers, you know, and by, especially by hearing, chanting, and then, you know, pulling the cart. And sometimes the cart won't move. So we have to be filled with anxiety. You know, and then so to increase your intensity of anxiety, a state police officer coming along and, you know, you panic. Yeah. Yes, sir.
Is
Yeah.
What was stopping gopis going to Dwarka? Why did they go to Dwarka?
Well, there's the new book out by Shivaram Swami, and he's taking things from different sources. You know, some people criticize some of the sources, for example, like the, what's that one? Garga Samhita. But he quotes some source justifying that from one of the Puranas like that. But at one point, Chandranani, she told Radharani that there's a lake in Dwarka, and if you go and do puja there, you'll be reunited with Krishna. And this is why did she wait so long, 100 years or whatever it was. I guess some reason like that. Oh yeah, because Radharani was cursed by Sridham to take birth as a quarrelsome Vaishya lady and be separated from Krishna, because Krishna was associating with Viraja, one of the gopis, and she tried to hide herself, and then Radharani said, okay, you want to associate with her? You do that. I don't want anything to do it anymore. So Krishna came there twice, and her friends wouldn't let her in, and Sridham came and tried to convince her, and then she still wouldn't, you know, relent. And then Sridham, her brother, cursed her, you're just such a, you know, hard-hearted girl. You know, you'll be separated from Krishna for 100 years. So she wasn't planning that, thinking maybe letting him squirm a while longer, you know, for his activities, you know. But then she took birth as for 100 years, and she was like separated from Krishna. And the curse was over, and Chandranani told her this. So that story, then they all went there and were bathing in the lake. Then Krishna went there with the offer, for some reason like that, all he knew. And then Satyabhama and Rukmini and all the queens were there, and the Yadu soldiers, and they came there, and the lake was surrounded by all these cowherd girls were holding up a silk cloth like that. And there's effulgence coming out. They said, you can't go here now. Our queen is taking bath here like that. So the soldiers of the Yadu dynasty who defeated the greatest heroes were going to like push them out of the way. But it says, just with their raised eyebrows, they go up, you stop them. So they couldn't do anything. They're amazed, you know. And then Radharani came, and the ecstasy in her seeing Krishna and her feelings like that. Rukmini and what's her name? Satyabhama and so on. Just seeing the ecstatic feeling she was manifesting, seeing a Krishna again like that, they just lost consciousness, fell on the ground. You know? They came to consciousness again, and then it kind of says that Satyabhama was kind of like this, kind of like you know, so would like almost playfully said, "Well, who is this Radharani?" This is before she saw her. Who is this Radharani, and how can they talk about her beauty? You know. Isn't it a fact that Krishna fought all the demigods for my beauty? And they're talking to other queens, and they all say, yeah. And then they see Radharani, they pass out unconscious like that. You know? But there are different stories like that. His whole book is focusing on the separation of Krishna, and he never goes...
The social convention that stopped them, leaving their villages?
The different things, they did go there, because one thing is they weren't, you know, for 100 years she had to be separated, so they couldn't go. Another thing is that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. In Maya, Vrindavana Parityajya Eka Paranagachati. So if they left Vrindavan, they would be leaving Krishna. You know. Another thing is that even when they performed, and then the queen said, can we both perform this Rasa Lila here? And Krishna said, I don't know, you have to ask Radharani. She was the leader of this thing. And she went there and she was really hesitant, but then she understood, because Krishna's asking and sending him, means he wants to do it. And whatever Krishna wants, you know, that's what I do. So she tried to arrange it, and she put one queen between two gopis, and then showed them all like how to do it like that. And then Satyabhama was—they were so happy and everything else. All this must be more wonderful than other rasa, not really like that. And she was saying, without the Jamuna, without Govardhan, you know, without the forest animals in Vrindavan, you know, they're musicians here, but the forest animals in Vrindavan, the music they produce is, you know, unbelievable. You know, even a drop of the, you know, sentiments. So Radharani wanted to meet with Krishna and privately, and she's about to collapse. And then, she's looking at, and Krishna kind of looks at her and kind of indicates to her, you have to wait just a little bit longer until we settle these things like that. And so she's waiting, you know, yeah. So there are different reasons. Yeah.
Because technically, I mean, the gopis are willing to sacrifice everything to Krishna. I mean, they will run out in the middle of the night to see Krishna. They should run out to Dwarka to see him.
Yeah, but then they're sacrificing Vrindavan, which Krishna's not satisfied in Dwarka. He's not satisfied in seeing the gopis in Dwarka. He's in his Vasudeva portion there, and he's not completely satisfied by that. And so he goes back to his Vrindavan portion. Well, all these things are going on like simultaneously in cycles. So he's not satisfied seeing the gopis in Dwarka. So if they come there, it won't be better for them to stay there and for him just to think of them. Pingala, the prostitute. Was it prostitute? Pingala, the courtesan. Right? She says, frustration is the greatest satisfaction. Right? If you think, I'm going to enjoy like this, the material life. And if you actually have it, then you're depressed. That's all there was? No. So if you don't get it, then you're always thinking, oh, wow, that, this, you can,
Anticipation.
Well, no, or just like because your mind aspires for something. You're saying like that. So same way, if the gopis came to Dwarka, then there was this feeling of depression and inadequacy. Basically, they don't go to Dwarka because only in Vrindavan can Krishna's pastimes be satisfied. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, either Radharani or Lord Chaitanya Prabhupada says that even if Krishna will leave Vrindavan, then the inhabitants of Vrindavan will never leave like that. Yeah. Even if Krishna leaves Vrindavan, the inhabitants will never leave like that.
They do have attachment.
Yeah, because Krishna is only can be manifest in Vrindavan. He's not in Dwarka, he doesn't leave actually. He's in a more intense form when he leaves. His Lila Smarna Swarup is more intense than his manifest form. But it's all combined. It's like you're eating different things in a feast. There's sweets, there's savory, salty, pungent. So you're mixing different things like that. Eating sweets, but after a while, then bitter things taste, good. So it has to all be mixed. So in some way, the Dwarka pastimes are more intense than the pastimes in Vrindavan. Because there's, Vipralamba. Things of separation.
Everything was planned by Lord Krishna.
No. This describes, says that the gopis are full of unpredictable, intense emotional reactions that even they can't figure out what's going to happen, or Krishna. It says that Krishna's devotee and devotional service, all these three come together in dance, and nobody can quite figure out who's in control. Krishna, Radharani, or Yogamaya. Sometimes Purnamasi makes them both forget. One time Prabhupada was in a... funny, it was when they had some program, I think it was Atlanta, I'm not sure. And they arranged this big thing, they had all this advertisement and, traditional, ancient Indian sacrifice and guru from, so-and-so. And so it was on television, they were recording this, and then the mayor or somebody from the mayor's office was there, and all these things were happening. And I think it was Balabhanta, the president, and he said it. And they were doing everything wrong. They didn't know what they were doing. They really got in way over their head. They're instead of putting the coconut on one side of the fire, they're putting the coconut in the fire. It was like all these crazy things, And so then Prabhupada was becoming more and more irritated by all this. And why are you doing that? Why are you doing that? And so Balabhanta was becoming like president, And so when Bhakta Buford or somebody was fanning Prabhupada, So right in the middle of this, he says, "Oh, Srila Prabhupada, just chant Hare Krishna." And so Balabhanta heard this, and he thought, that's it. Fire is going to come from Prabhupada's eyes. He's going to burn the mayor to death on television. We're all going to die. So Prabhupada looked at Bhakta Buford, put his hand in his bead bag, and started chanting, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Ram." So he's looking, he's seeing that Krishna's talking through this boy to me, "Oh, Prabhupada, they're trying their best, calm down." So sometimes Guru says, "Okay, you're God." Other times he says, "No, you're God, but I'm your spiritual master, and you have to do this properly." So there's Krishna, Balaram, and the avatars, Purusha avatars, Radharani, and us. And that's the whole, it's all one, but different aspects like that. So sometimes Krishna doesn't. Sometimes he's planning, he's in control, and Radharani says, sometimes, "No, we're going to do something else."
That time, he was aware that he will be separated from Radharani.
Yeah. sometimes. But again, it's like, you know, you're going to have a, every Saturday you play tennis with your friend and have dinner with your wives in the country club. But you never know, you know, quite what's going to happen. Even these scheduled incarnations, each time they're different, like that. So some of them, yeah, they're regular incarnations. Just, and I guess this was a regular pastime with Radharani. You know. But again, it's just, yeah, it's always different. You know.
Lord James Blank's operation from gopis and others, it just happened.
I don't know. I mean, this happened mean that Yogamaya arranged it. Basically, one of those three was in control. You know, Krishna, Radharani, or Yogamaya. Yogamaya is Purnamasi. You know, Mother Mangal's grandmother. Dad. Yeah. 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 Yes, sir.
Somebody asked why the Krishna said, okay, here, Gopi said, you are in Kurukshetra here, and we are meeting together, let's dance and all that.
Yeah.
And Gopi said, no, yeah. You are the same, we are the same, but place is not the same. So you have to come to Vrindavan.
Yeah, that's another verse Lord Chaitanya cites, yeah. Radharani says that even though, you know, I you're here like this and that, I hanker to be beneath the Betasi tree on the bank of the Jamuna. I hear the fifth note like that. Yeah, so when the next thing to read is Chaitanya Charitamrita. Lord Chaitanya is at Rath Yatra because he's expanding all these, you know, different sources. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So probably, you know, if gopis and, you know, they went there, you don't have, because when Narada goes and visits him, and he has a king and every palace, so he's going to be perfect best friend for them.
Yeah.
So is that
Yes. But at the same time too, you know, they were satisfied in certain ways, and when they also, when they saw the gopis, they felt more satisfaction in sharing Krishna with them. You know, and sharing. It's very subtle, you know. Also sharing Krishna with them and saying, okay, you go back to Vrindavan. Because, you know, what happens is he goes back to Vrindavan for some time, the Rath Yatra, right? He goes to Gundicha. And then, after some time, Lakshmi becomes a little insulted, and so she goes attacks the Brijvasis and, you know, brings Krishna back like that, you know. So, yeah. But they're also there, Krishna's satisfying them and their feelings. He satisfies Kubja. You know, Kubja is an incarnation of Shupanaka. Yeah, so she doesn't have a conjugal desire to serve Krishna. And this is the best way to serve Krishna, is this conjugal relation. Her desire is to enjoy sense gratification with Krishna, right? And so it's a different kind of Shakti feeling, you know? And so because of that thing, but even still, Krishna satisfies her desires, you know? And then she makes advancement. Is more pure. Everybody's advancing on and on like that. So the queens in Dwarka, it's awful complicated to ask some of those. When all the gopis were dying, they all disappeared from Vrindavan. and then you go to Dwarka, and Rukmini's married to Krishna or something in some story, and then she has a promise from Krishna he won't take a second queen. Then Satyabhama shows up, and she's, you know, dying in separation from Krishna. And then one of Rukmini's, her counselor, she sees Satyabhama and she says, oh boy, my queen is cooked. She's very peaceful and loves Krishna like a gentle lake. But this whirling water of Satyabhama will drown Krishna in affection. So they're trying to arrange all kinds of things so that Satyabhama can't end up there. And they're going to send her off to Rukmini's father's house so that Krishna won't be there. And she decides at that point just to kill herself. You know, and then Krishna saves her, and Rukmini comes there, and then Nagnajiti, other queen, daughter of Nagnajit, and Jambavati, they come, and when they see each other, Jambavati realizes that she's actually Lalita, and Nagnajiti realizes she's actually Padma, you know, and then they see each other, and they realize that Padma realizes that Rukmini is Chandravali, and Satyabhama is Radharani. Like that, you know, kind of. And they're going back and forth with their consciousness because they can't be separated from Krishna, right? So when Krishna goes to Dwarka, he's actually associating with the same gopis, right? But they're expansions of them and constantly eternally different. And at that point, Rukmini says, you know, it's not good to be shy in situations like this. So she grabs Krishna's hand and puts it in Satyabhama's and said, okay, I released you from this vow and you know, who could ask for a better co-wife than Satyabhama and stuff. And then Krishna is, you know, so again, it's different kinds of moods and relationships. It's not simple. You know, whatever position we have, that's the best position for us. In a neutral position, you can say, oh, this is better than that. But that's a, not the way things work. Everybody has their position. It's not neutral. Yeah? And so everybody's always going on like this, experimenting different kinds of, you know, relationships like that. But yeah, Krishna has to.
So his pastimes in Dwarka is as a king and
as a husband, basically? Yeah, it's swakia. But in Vrindavan, there's this feeling of always tension because we're not married and we never can be together completely. And, you know, it's a very advanced subject matter.
How many years did you spend in Dwarka?
I don't know, maybe 100. Yeah, it's okay. So they weren't satisfied. Well, because he left Vrindavan when he was like, what, like 13? Yeah, so, you know, a little mathematics there. Yeah, 112? Yeah. Yes, sir.
It seems that we must all have been present when Krishna was in Dwarka.
Oh, yeah?
We must have been present on the earth.
Yeah?
And so.
You were in Indraloka or something? Or?
I mean, so it seems that I was one of the unfortunate people,
yeah,
who didn't recognize Krishna.
Well, I don't know. We could have been in a different universe. We could have been bacteria. Yeah. 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 Good Lord Brahma. Yeah. So we're very fortunate to have this Rath Yatra festival coming up. It's described that to put on the Rath Yatra festival, you become, what is it, three times more pious than Indra if you organize a Rath Yatra festival. And to become Indra, you have to do 100 Ashvamedha sacrifices. So performing the Rath Yatra festival is like it's, you know, equivalent to forming 300 Ashvamedha yagnas. And if you've ever organized it, you know it's difficult. It's really challenging to do this whole thing like that. Ah, Rath Yatra festival. But again, it's such a nice opportunity. Many people attract this because it's an Indian festival. There's food, it's different. Gaurakishore Das Babaji, you know, I enunciate here, some landowner was putting on a big apan at Rath Yatra and, you know, showing off his apanas like that in some nearby village. So Gaurakishore Das Babaji was going around telling everybody they should go to the Rath Yatra. He got a poster and was going around telling everybody like that. He said, there'll be lots of pretty girls there and beautiful saris, you know. And the food's going to be really nice. So finally, the day of the Rath Yatra, everybody went there except him. He just stayed at home peacefully, nobody to bother him, and chanted Hare Krishna. Fools on the Rath Yatra. Yeah. So many different levels, right, of seeing the festival like that. Yeah. And definitely it's unbelievable preaching to attract people. Jayananda said that when they did it in New York City, New York is like this place where, one guy said, in New York you're always on yellow alert, you know, conscious of your environment and ready to respond. Because right in the middle of you know, the noonday walking traffic, somebody can come up with a gun and rob you in the middle of everybody. This guy's crazy, you know. So every moment you're like, you know. And he said, one acting teacher I had, he said, people in New York always walk like this, you know. They always have this kind of tension like that, you know? And so, when this Rath Yatra festival occurred on Fifth Avenue, which, see, nobody has parades on Fifth Avenue now, but because we did it then, it's established a precedent. So it's the only festival that happens like that. So they had the three carts, they had the Radha Damodar buses, they had lots of devotees, brahmacharis hopping up and down, screaming and chanting, and, you know, devotees in the saris. And so Jayananda was looking at these crowds of people, and he said it was like all of a sudden just the sky had kind of opened up, like. And all these Rath Yatra carts are kind of going falling out of the sky down the street, and as people are chanting and dancing and singing, they're surrounded by gray buildings and police officers. And he said these people, it looked like they hadn't smiled in 35 years, you know. Their faces were kind of made out of porcelain or cement or something, you know. And he said when they saw all this, like, you see, they started like going. Yeah, it was just like, it was incredible. It cracked the whole, you can see this cracking the whole atmosphere. Just singing and dancing and then coming spontaneous, you know, people just getting into it and clapping and everything else. So it's you know, it's a Prabhupada's idea. It's a way to conquer, you know, conquer the world. He said, go on making it more and more glorious. He always suggested again and again, didn't require it, but many times he suggested stay one place afterwards for like 10 days or whatever it is. He even gave a recipe. Did you cook bunji khichdi? It was khichdi with toasted cashews and raisins, like that, every day. And have a program every night. Then it's, what's it called, Ulta Rat. You go back then like that to the, you know, to Hare Panchami festival, like that. So it goes on and on like that, you know. So we, you know, stop here and honor a little prasadam, and then tonight, another program tonight. So Prabhupada ki jai, hari krishna maha mantra ki jai, gaur premanandi hari bol.